the plan of redemption reveals not only that God is love, but it reveals to you and I what we're worth to Him.
What determines the value of something? Find out today with Kenneth Copeland and his guest Jeremy Pearsons as they share a biblical principle that reveals a big picture of God's love for you. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I want to tell you something. 2011 is a big year. I mean, I'm usually not impressed a whole lot by this kind of thing, but it really struck me this time in an unusual way that the number 11 is abundance. Hmm. It actually stands for excess, over and above, because 10 is supposed to be the full.
Sure.
11 is a cut above.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what 2011 is. And it's for the kingdom of God, there's never been a time like this. Never been a time this good. There's never been a time on earth, Jeremy, when there's this many people know how to pray and believe God. It's never happened before in the history of the planet. When there's this many people that know God, believe God, stand on the Word of God, and know how to get things done in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's come about in the last 50 years. Well, all this other mess has come about in the last 50 years, too, because it's come to a head. It's dying, and the kingdom of God is exploding.
Sure.
And we're in it. Praise
the Lord.
God. Isn't that exciting?
Very exciting.
Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We praise You and bless You. Oh, everything is going to be all right because we're walking by faith, we're living by love, and we live in Your Word. The kingdom is here. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank You.
Amen. Join me again today in welcoming my grandson, Jeremy Pearson, to this broadcast.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to quit introducing you as my grandson. You just brother Jeremy.
Well, I'm always your grandson, whether you say it or not.
Okay, I'll keep on introducing you.
I like it.
Because I'm
personally
proud of you, man.
Thank you, sir.
I'm pleased with what God's doing in your life.
I appreciate it.
Let's go into what we were talking about yesterday, the reality of redemption.
Yeah.
The reality of being bought, paid for, out of obligation, out of toiling for salvation. Mm-hmm. Every time I talk about this, I think about the pawn shop.
Mm-hmm.
The redemption. You got a ticket, brother. You go in there and pay that price, you get your guitar back,
yeah.
You know? You redeem that thing, and that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Redeeming the collateral that you put up. Well, Jesus came and bought us out.
Yes, He did.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And until that becomes your reality, you'll never see Him. You'll never recognize Jesus. You'll never recognize the move of the Holy Spirit. The thing that's been stirring in me about redemption, and we're going to get into Galatians 3 here in a moment, but I want to say this. It has to become a reality. It's real whether it's real to you or not, but until it's real to you, it can't produce, it can't work, and there are so many believers. I hear it not only as we travel and we minister, but I hear it on the inside. I hear what I believe is the cry of so many people saying, it's not working. The Word's not working, and the things that I've heard preached aren't working. But until this becomes a reality, it won't work. And redemption and this, I hesitate to even call it a message. I hesitate to call it a subject because it's so big. I told you on yesterday's broadcast when the Lord began to speak to me over the last several weeks and months, I want you to minister, preach Jesus, but preach this the redemption side of this. Right away, I knew I don't know enough about this. And of course, I know that we're redeemed, and I've grown up that way. I grew up in your family. I'm going to know that. Or I should say this, I'm going to hear that. But redemption is not one of those things. It's foundational, yes, but it's not foundational in the sense that you talk about it once and then you move on. Redemption is foundational in the sense that it reaches into every message, yeah, every subject, every question, every answer. It's foundational like the foundation of your house. You can have a big, beautiful house, but if you don't have a foundation to put it on, nothing will work. Mm-hmm. It won't stand up. That's how foundational redemption is to our life and our walk as believers. You can't, I've been thinking about this over the last several days, you can't preach anything. Try to think of a message. Try to think of a subject or a topic that you could preach and have any effect without having one hand on redemption. You certainly can't preach salvation.
Let's interject something right here. The word of the Lord came to Keith Moore back a number of years ago. Well, probably 7-8 years ago, and he and I discussed it, I followed him in his decision. Well, the Lord said to him, I want you to go back and preach all of the truths of redemption that you have preached in the past, but do it all now with one hand on the love of God.
The love of God.
Oh,
and that is exactly where we're
headed. That's the key to it, isn't it? God so loved the world.
Absolutely.
And I was part of that world. Yeah. And He so loved it, He redeemed it. Everything He does, He doesn't heal you because you have faith. You need faith.
Sure.
To receive it. But He doesn't do it because you have faith. He does it because He loves you. He saves you because He loves you. He fills you with the Holy Ghost because He loves
you. Absolutely.
It's all because He loves you. Yeah. That's what makes redemption real.
And that's what redemption reveals about Him. And if you don't know that about God...
Now, wait a minute. Go back with that.
Yeah.
That's what...
Redemption reveals that God is a God of love and that God is love.
Oh, that's good.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in the 10th verse and we're going to
say that again. Say that again. Oh.
Redemption, the plan of redemption, reveals that God is love.
And once that's a revelation,
yeah,
then redemption gets real.
And that's when your faith works. And to all of those people, to anybody watching and listening to this, if it's been the cry of your heart, why isn't this working? Let me tell you something. Faith works by love. Faith only works when you know how much you're loved. Well, if you don't know how much you're loved, how could you have faith in Him to begin with? You couldn't. There would be no such thing
and religion,
as trust or faith in Him.
Religion never even mentions it.
No.
If they do, they quote John 3:16, that's the end of it. But John 3:16 is the pivotal verse in all the Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. He did everything He did because He so loved the world that He gave.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Look at this in verse 10, because what He's going to do here for you, He says this in verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things, excuse me, which are written in the book of the law to do them. So He says, okay, you as a human, and we talked about this yesterday, there is that thing inside man that wants to earn what he's got, that wants to prove himself. He said, fine, you want to do that.
That was a curse.
Yeah, yeah. And He said, if you want to do that, you just need to know that number one, you can't.
Yeah.
You cannot earn it. But if you want to try, go ahead. The only thing is, you're going to be under a curse when you do. And He says, if those who are under the works of the law are under the curse. Verse 11, He says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
Oh, man.
Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by faith. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham. Now, here's where we get into the gospel. I love these scriptures where you can put the entire gospel, the entire Bible, into two verses. Mm-hmm. Christ has redeemed us from the cursed, so that, here's the purpose in that, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's something interesting to me in verse 13, and I want to bring this out. Notice he said it's Christ that redeemed us. This is interesting to me. He goes on later and he says Christ Jesus, but he draws attention here. He didn't say Jesus redeemed us, and we know he did. I'm not trying to say he didn't, but what he's doing is he's drawing our attention. He says it's the anointing and the anointed one that has redeemed you. How did he do it? He redeemed you from the curse, having become a curse. Now, we have got to get a hold of this. I'll say it to you like this. Jesus, the anointed, became Jesus the cursed.
Yeah, absolutely.
This gets all over me.
You've got to let that happen in your mind. You have to let him die, and you have to let him be cursed, and you have to let him go to hell. Because if you don't let him go to hell, you're going.
That's right.
The reality of that. I got into so much trouble back in years ago. I'm still in trouble with a whole lot of the same people. I just don't know it anymore. But back there then, man, I got called everything you could think of because I pointed out in the scripture that it just says Jesus went to hell. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, you thought I cussed in the pulpit. Man, as ugly as that went. And when I took it to the Lord, he said, you have to let him die.
Yeah.
Real. You have to, reality, people have never let him die. They let him just kind of float away.
Sure.
Let him die, because if you don't let him die, you'll never have any reality that you live.
Yeah.
Or that you're redeemed.
Absolutely. Oh. And redemption itself, by definition, is an exchange. I mean, you said that just a moment ago. You take that ticket in and you exchange your payment for that product.
That,
by definition, is an exchange.
Buddy, that's dynamite.
So Jesus had to exchange. And anytime you look through the New Testament, anytime you see this in the Word, I think about this in Paul's letter, what is it, 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. What are you seeing there? You are seeing an exchange take place on every level. He exchanged his richness for poverty, and we exchange our poverty for his richness. I mean, you see it again in Corinthians. Where is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in the anointing, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's an exchange taking place. Everything that was old, that old way of thinking, that old way of traditional religious thinking that says, I've got to earn what I get and what I have. He said, that old way has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. We are new in him. We have a new nature. There is a new reality.
Amen.
We exchanged it. And he says in verse 21, just a few verses later, for he made him. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin
for us,
that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Now, go back to that.
Exchange taking place on every level.
That what we were talking about there a while ago. If you could see Jesus on the cross, he was made a curse for us, so that I no longer am cursed, but blessed.
Yeah.
He went to hell so I could go to heaven. He was cast out for a moment from the face of God so that I could come freely to the throne of grace without any sense of condemnation or unworthiness.
Yeah.
It's right there, isn't it?
It is.
It's that great exchange. But you got a problem here if you're messed up with your identification. If I identify with Adam, I'm still cursed. I see myself cursed. I may be going to church all the time, but I'm identifying with the fall. If I identify with the resurrection, man, I'm somebody else. I'm not the same guy anymore. I had an exchange take place. He gave me my life by taking death for me.
Yeah.
He went to hell so I don't have to go.
Absolutely.
He bore my sicknesses and diseases in order to give me healing. Now, Jeremy, you get down into this, you come to this place here too. The difference between Lord and high priest. He is the high priest appointed of God and faithful to him that appointed him. He's Lord over sickness and disease, but he's high priest over healing. And people receive him as Lord, but stop short of receiving him as the priest of our healing, as he ministers that healing. He's the Lord over poverty, but you have to remember he's the high priest over abundance. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant.
Yeah.
So here again, exchange, but without identification, you don't ever make the exchange. Where are you identifying yourself? With whom do you identify? I mean, well, I just feel so bad. I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so no good. You're not identifying with the resurrected Jesus, the Lord and High Priest of of the kingdom of God. You're still identifying with the fall, the curse, the no good, and all of that. Well, of course I wasn't any good. I didn't earn the thing, but he got it for me, and I'm going to identify with the righteousness that he has given as a free gift.
Yeah. Look at this in 2 Timothy, because this is where it makes it, the Spirit of God makes it so clear in this. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can start in verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Look at verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that will straighten out your theology right there, where the will of God is concerned. He desires, it is His will for all to be saved, none to be left out of this. And it's not only His desire for you and I to be saved, but to come to the knowledge of the truth. But I love this in verse 5, He begins to unpack what the knowledge of the truth is. He says this, for there is one God. Would that be the truth? Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
There is one God, and that's the truth. And then he says, and one mediator between God and men. So not only is there a God, but that God has put someone between him and us as our go-between, as the one that not only represents him to us, but represents us to him.
And affects the exchange.
Absolutely.
That's where
that is our point of exchange.
Yeah,
and he says that mediator is the man, Christ. Now you get into the plan of redemption. Redemption, I'll say it like this. Death entered through Adam, right? Romans chapter 5. Through the offense of one man, sin entered and death reigned through sin.
Yes.
Sin and death had taken man hostage. And it's not till you come to this scripture and what we've been reading in Galatians, you see that the man, Christ Jesus, gave himself as a ransom.
Buy it back.
A ransom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by definition, a ransom, here you get right back into redeem. As a matter of fact, the Weiss translations of Galatians chapter 3 says that Christ, he doesn't use the word redeemed. He says he gave himself as a ransom. In other words, sin and death took man hostage. And everything that comes out of sin and death, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, depression, oppression, took man hostage
Wow.
and demanded a payment and said, if you want this man back, here's my demand, perfection. I demand perfection from a man. And so the plan of redemption required a man, the man Christ Jesus, to give himself as a ransom. Now, here is the most beautiful part. The plan of redemption reveals not only that God is love, but it reveals to you and I what we're worth to Him.
It really does.
And to come before God and say, as a habit, or to even do this, trying to impress Him with your humility and to say, oh God, I'm not worthy. He doesn't even speak that language. Here's why. The price paid determines the value.
The worth. Absolutely.
And if I go into a store and I buy something and I spend $100 on it and I set it up in my house all nice and pretty and you come over and that's just a piece of junk to you. You spent $100 on that. Whether or not it's worth $100 to you makes no difference. It's worth at least that much to me. Why? Because I paid that much for it.
Not only that, you wanted it.
Absolutely.
If you hadn't wanted it, you wouldn't have paid that kind of money for it.
And we
He wanted you,
are
and
worth
He wanted
it.
You, and He wanted me, right?
The plan of redemption reveals to you what you're worth.
And He did it because He wanted it. It wasn't
because
He was worth it. He wanted you, so that
Absolutely.
Made it worth it.
Yeah. I'm not worthy because I made myself worthy. I am worthy because He said you're
And He
worthy.
Put the price on you.
Yes, He did. Who am I to argue
oh,
with Him?
That's so good, man.
Praise God.
That is a reality of redemption. And that's the reason you don't hear much of this in religious settings and religious atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
We know we were unworthy, but He didn't leave us that way.
That's right.
That it's all about the unworthiness of man in religion. But in reality, it's all about the worthiness of God.
He gave us
And
His
the
worth.
One that was priceless
yeah.
gave all He had to get what religion says was worthless.
Yeah.
But it's not based on what man became in the fall, Jeremy.
No, it's
not in the eyes of God. It goes back to before the foundation of the world when He planned it and knew you and knew me before sin ever came, before the devil ever was created, much less went bad, and all of that. God still saw you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was worth it to Him to get you back.
Yes, it was.
I'm glad.
Praise God.
Oh, glory to God. And we're out of time. My
it
goodness.
It goes quick.
Brother Jeremy and I will be back in just a moment.
When you don't know who you really are, and you are not aware that no matter what you've done, you are somebody, life can be a nightmare. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you so that you may enjoy God's promises of health, peace, and prosperity. Jesus paid the price for you so that you could accomplish the goals God has planted in your heart. To make the truth of a prosperous life your reality, you must receive your inheritance. In Kenneth Copeland's 4-CD series, Receive Your Inheritance, Kenneth reveals you are entitled to God's promises. Health, peace, and prosperity are your right. God has an awesome plan for life. The key to it all is that you have to accept God to enjoy the benefits of His inheritance. Kenneth Copeland's Receive Your Inheritance shows you how. Free with purchase, receive the resting side of life. Jeremy Pearson's dynamic teaching on God's grace on DVD and CD. Order Kenneth Copeland's CD set, Receive Your Inheritance, today for just $20. As an added bonus, we'll send you Jeremy Pearson's teaching on DVD and CD called The Resting Side of Life. These are two great resources that reveal God's promises and lead you into His rest. For an additional product discount and faster processing, purchase your copies online. For these and other ministry products, go to kcm.org.
You really do need to get The Resting Side of Life by Jeremy Pearson's. This, along with receiving your inheritance, because on television we just hit the high spots because we don't have time to get on into the depth of things like you can when you are delivering a message and you're flowing with the Spirit of God in depth, and that's the reason we make these CDs and DVDs available for you. You really need to get a hold of this, because what the things that we're talking about are in great detail and insight in The Resting Side of Life. That rest is in our redemption. So get hold of this. Father, thank you,
Lord,
for the power of your word throughout this whole radio and television audience all over the world. Things are changing, and we're going with you. Praise God in Jesus' name. Now, Canada. Oh, man, May the 12th through the 14th at Langley, British Columbia in Canada, celebrating 35 years, Jeremy, that this ministry has had full-time staff and office and so forth in the nation of Canada. And I'm telling you right now, the awakening is working in Canada right today as we speak. Great things happening all over the nation to the north. Praise God. And we're glad about it. July the 4th through the 9th. Now, these are new dates. For years, we were in August, the first week, for the Southwest Believers Convention. But now, that first week of July, this is our 31st year in this convention. Very important. Go to kcm.org, get all the information. Believe God now. Get your faith on it right now. You need to be there. And this is not something, well, I can just watch it on television. Well, I know you can do that, and that's good. But there's something happens when you get in that place where all of our faith comes together. Praise God. It is enormously important. Praise the Lord. Join us again tomorrow. And until then, this is Kenneth Copeland. Jeremy Pearson's reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on The Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher welcome you to the Behind the Mission Weekend, April 8th and 9th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Redemption is done. It's done. And if you continue to ask God, why don't you do what it shows, it shows one of two things. Either one, you don't know what He's done, or two, you know what He's done and you don't have an honor for it.